Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our speaker today is Reverend Darrell Smith, pastor of Great Lakes Baptist Church in Clarkston, Michigan. The title of his message is Joining Hands for God's Great Cause. The text is from Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 18.
Once again, I would like to thank you for the privilege that you have afforded me to speak to you today. It was such a joy yesterday to be able to open God's Word and to share with you the principles, the truth that it holds for all of us as we endeavor to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So I thank you, and I will pray for you and pray for the success of your own ministry and life for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to revisit this morning Daniel in chapter 12 and verse 3. If you take your Bibles, I'd like to read this verse and illustrate for you the importance of giving your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just once, but every day of your lives. In Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3, we find these words that are shared with us today. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. This verse catches the truth of what life is all about. The Bible teaches that we are to be men and women of wisdom. The Bible teaches that we are to shine brightly for our Savior. The Bible teaches that we are to lead many unto righteousness. Yesterday morning, I shared with you the life of Daniel and how Daniel, from Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, purposed in his heart that he would not partake of the king's meat, and that he would not partake of the king's wine. Daniel had found himself in a place that wasn't his own choosing. And yet, because of his determined resolve to honor his Lord, he did not allow his situation to alter his course of serving and being faithful to his Lord. The world is not your friend. The world has nothing to offer you. The world will bring to you nothing more than pain and misery if you do not allow Jesus Christ to be part of your life. We noted yesterday that Daniel was a man of great godly devotion. We also noted that he was a man of distinct wisdom. And we noticed that he stood out in great fearlessness. The decisions that he made were right decisions. And those decisions honored the Lord. We noted also in closing yesterday how important it is for us, all of us, young, middle-aged, older, to join hands together in this great cause, the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Recent events in our own country would tell you that life is fragile. And the things that we do of value, the things that we do that hold eternal weight, will be because of Jesus Christ. Working and living through the power of His Holy Spirit in our lives. I'd like to continue this morning my thought on holding hands for God's great cause. You see, young people, we are in this together. You're not alone. You have someone that is next to you this morning. You have someone that you admire, someone that you look to. And you realize that, wait a minute, I'm not alone in this cause. We looked at Daniel and he stood out for us yesterday. But in Daniel chapter 3, we have three of his companions that also stand out. We know them. as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, men that I would consider great patriots for the cause of their Lord. It is interesting how we endeavor to train our young men and women for the armed forces. It is interesting to me the rigors that they must go through in order to graduate from their respective military academies. The rigors that they go through help to prepare them for the difficulties that they will have to go through on the field of battle. As Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego were men in captivity, young men in captivity. And yet they determined, as Daniel determined, to join hands together and, regardless of the cost to their own lives, honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Patriots, when you go back in history and you look at the men who signed the Declaration of Independence that promoted the freedom of our own country, we see that many of those men who signed that Declaration of Independence went through great hardship. Some were cast into prison and died. Others had their savings and their homes confiscated to the British. Some lost sons in the Revolutionary War. And yet they were willing to go through what they went through because they believed in freedom. They believed in a cause. Men and women today, if we are to produce patriots, we must have that same determination. How wonderful it is to be known as a patriot for Christ. Thomas Jefferson said, "Patriotism is not a short and frenzied burst of emotion, but the long and steady dedication of a lifetime." Patriotism is important for you to have. Patriotism for our country, yes. But also and foremost, a patriotic spirit for the cause of Jesus Christ. It is a proud moment when someone will call you a patriot for Christ. Live as great patriots for Christ. You'll never be a patriot. You'll never be a patriot for Christ if you have an unyielded spirit for the things of Christ. Achan from Joshua chapter 7 illustrates for us a man who was unwilling to yield his life to Christ. Unyielded to the Lord, and it produced an appetite for sin. The story in chapter 7 of Joshua not only took a toll on his life, but it took a toll on his brother and sisters for Christ. It took a toll on his own immediate family that he loved so well. And yet, for a moment of pleasure, he reached and he took and he hid those things that were accursed. Young people, you will never be a patriot for Christ if your life is unyielded to Christ. But we find in Daniel chapter 3 some very important traits, if you will, that revealed their patriotism. And I believe these traits are important if we are to be the patriots that God has called us to be. I'd like for you to look in chapter 3, and we're going to break into the story. Nebuchadnezzar had made a great image made out of gold. And that image was for the purpose of giving worship and honor to this king. People were called from all the provinces, And they, at a certain time, a certain moment, with a certain sound, all those who were present on that great plain were to bow down and they were to worship Him. Worship that image. In essence, worshiping Nebuchadnezzar. The stage was set and the time was given, the signal sounded, and they bowed down except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It was told the king that these three Chaldeans, these three Hebrew children, would not bow to this great image. The Bible says that the fury of the king was so great, that he demanded an explanation from these three young men. He goes to them and he says, "Listen, you will bow down. You will bow down. You will bow down and you will worship. And if you do, everything will be well. But I tell you right now, if you do not bow down, I will have the furnace of fire heated to such a degree that you will instantaneously be burnt. You will die. You will bow down. And I'm so thankful that the Scripture records for us the response of these three men. I would like for you to note the first trait found in verse 16, the last part of that verse. It says in verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king. Now listen to this very carefully. O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. First trait that you see, they were stable when threatened or intimidated. In other words, young people, they did not cave in. I say to you this morning, and I will continue to echo these words until God takes me home, you cannot give in to the forces that are against the Lord Jesus Christ. You must stand tall and you must determine that you will not be intimidated. You will not be intimidated by the world and their philosophy. You will not be intimidated by the false gods that so many worship today. You must take a stand. You must not falter. You must remain stable. And as you continue to give your lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ, and as you continue to surrender to Him on a daily basis, understanding the brevity of life and understanding the importance of your stand, you will say, I will not be intimidated. Satan and all his forces may be coming against me, but I, through God's power, through God's grace, I will not cave in. We need today, as we hold hands together, young men and women that will determine that they will not cave in against the intimidation of the world, against the intimidation of sin, against the intimidation of the flesh and lust. We will stand holding together for the cause of Christ. As it was stated of the Apostle Paul that he turned the world upside down for the Lord Jesus Christ, so should it be said of us, the Christians in this world, the Christians in this auditorium, that indeed we have a determination, yes, not to cave in, but to turn the world upside down for the Lord Jesus Christ. You can do it, but you will not be able to do it in your own strength. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not able to stand against the fiery furnace in their own strength. They did so because of their trust in the Lord God Almighty. You must trust Him.
The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians, in chapter 3 and verse 3, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." The Lord is faithful. 1 Peter in chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." We find a great principle from 2 Timothy in chapter 1 and verse 7. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, like their friend Daniel, had great conviction. And that conviction was there because they determined that they were going to honor and they were going to serve Jesus Christ. And I say to you this morning, for you to have conviction in your heart, in your soul, you're going to have to give your life over to Jesus Christ completely and throughout this life. Conviction doesn't come easily. It comes through the sacrifices that you will make in honoring Jesus Christ. But you determine that you will not cave in to the onslaughts that are against you from the world, from Satan, from the pride of life, from your flesh. There's a second trait that is very noticeable in this passage of Scripture and needs to be brought forth to us. In verse 17, if you look there, it says in the last part of verse 16, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King." We find, if it be so, they stood up in the face of reality. They stood up in the face of reality. Listen, the king, Nebuchadnezzar, said, "If you don't bow down, you're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. You're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace." This was reality. The king had the power. The king had the authority. The king would give the word and it would be done. They understood this, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They understood what his words meant. They understood. And yet, you'll notice in this verse, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King." Ephesians in chapter 3 and verse 20, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." These men, these young people, stood up in the face of reality. Listen, someday you may find yourself facing reality with no way out. And it will, if you're not careful, be very easy for you, like the masses there on the plain of Shinar, there to bow down and worship. It may be a realistic position that you will be placed in. But I tell you this, even though the reality is there, even though that all around you, you find people capitulating and falling down and worshiping those things that they know in their heart are wrong, you determine that you are going to be willing to face reality. And in facing reality, stay strong and stay faithful to Jesus Christ. Their confidence in the face of reality was not in themselves. It was in the power, in the rescuing power of God Almighty. When things seem impossible to you, I want you to know that God can answer the impossible. God can answer the impossible. When situations in your life seem as though they cannot be overcome, I say to you, God will make all things possible. It is God who will create for you an opportunity to be successful. What you have to do, and this is where your confidence will come in, is to simply trust God and to say, I am going to do my best for Jesus. I am here at this great university and I'm taking all of these classes and I'm doing all of these things and I'm getting worn down even though it's just a few weeks into school. Let me say something to you this morning. Put your trust in Jesus Christ and He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the conviction. He'll give you the confidence that you need to stand in the face of reality. You'll notice something else about these great young men. Not only were they stable when they were threatened and intimidated, not only did they stand up in the face of reality, but you see in verse 17 as well, they were subject to the divine will of God. It says in this verse, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. They had an understanding that God was in charge of their lives. And they had an understanding that God would work out for His glory any situation that they found themselves in. They were subject to the divine will of God here in this oasis, surrounded by the desert of the world. You will have an opportunity to allow God to move you. You will have an opportunity to have God search your own heart. You will have an opportunity for you to allow God to direct your life and move your life in a way that will please and honor Him. It is here you need to keep your hearts open. It is here that you will determine that you will allow God to rule and reign in your life. And it will be the will of God that will be first and foremost your concern. What does God want for my life? What does God want me to do for Him? What does God have for me in this life? It is God that we should be concerned about, and how He wants to use us in the fulfillment of His great plan for this world. He wants to use us. He wants us to be men and women of great wisdom. He wants us to be ones that will shine as bright as the firmament. He wants us to be those who will bring many to righteousness. I am confident and I am pleased and I am encouraged to see how many of you this morning are here and you're listening intently. You are listening to the serious call that God has for you. And I encourage you this morning, young people, that you allow God to move in your life. Keep your heart open so that God can fulfill His perfect will in your life. It is wonderful to serve Jesus Christ. It is wonderful to stand for righteousness. It is a wonderful thing to be the light, to be that dominant light, to be that unbridled light for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let your light shine as these three Hebrew children did. Let all those around you see that you will not bow down to the things of the world. You will not bow down to the appetite of your flesh. You will not bow down to those things that will yield ultimately death in your life. We find that they were subject to the divine will of God. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. Whatever God wants in my life, so be it. Whatever God wants. Whatever God wants. Whatever God wants. How wonderful it is to stand for Jesus Christ. Number four, and lastly this morning, you'll find a trait. Not only were they stable when threatened or intimidated, not only did they stand up in the face of reality, and not only were they subject to the divine will of God, they were resolved to let God lead their lives. Notice this in verse 17. The last part of it, we'll read it all. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. Now, verse 18 is a very, very important and wonderful verse. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Young people, listen to that particular verse. But if not, we want you to know that regardless, our trust is going to be maintained in our Lord. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 1 in verse 20 and 21, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The Apostle Paul speaking from a prison cell. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We should note at this particular point that we place our lives into the hand of God without regard to outcome. We are not to place our lives in the hand of God expecting that God is somehow going to reward us with all kinds of things of life, money, popularity, whatever it might be. God has a perfect will for your life. We are not to regard the things that may result from our serving Jesus Christ. It is our duty. It is our duty to give our lives to Jesus Christ. And when it's all said and done, it is our duty to serve Him. It is our duty to love Him. You think about what He has done for us through the cross of Calvary, how He gave His life for us, how His life was before mankind in such a shameful fashion. He took our sins in His body. He died for us. He was buried, but He rose again, and now He lives at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. God has something for your life, young people. God wants you to serve Him. God wants you to determine that you will stand up in the face of the enemies and that you will not cave in. You will not stumble. That your trust in Him will always be there, and you will say to the Lord, by your grace and by your power working in and through me with your Holy Spirit, I will endeavor to give my life over to you. I want your will for my life, God. I want your will for my life, not my will. We find these three men were men of great conviction for God. We find that they had great confidence in their Lord. And we find that they were willing to make a commitment for God that would be everlasting, regardless of the circumstances. In closing, in Acts chapter 16, the Apostle Paul and Silas were preaching and teaching, and they were arrested there on the street corner. And they were taken and they were stripped of their clothes and they were beaten and thrown into the jail. And we find there in Acts chapter 16 that at midnight they were singing hymns and praising the Lord God Almighty. And as a result of their love and their dedication to the Lord, we find that the Philippian jailer came in and ultimately he said, "What must I do to be saved?" And he was gloriously led to the Lord with his household. I say to you this morning, there must be that commitment regardless of where you are in life, what you're doing in life. There must be a commitment. And I say to you this morning, here on the halls, in the halls of this great campus, there must be a commitment to give your lives over to Jesus Christ. I trust this morning that you will give your lives over to Him if you haven't already. Honor Him. Stand true to Him. And become great patriots for the cause of Jesus Christ. I will pray for you. I will long to see you again. God bless you. Our Father, we thank You for this hour. We thank You for these young men and women who have, for many of them, already determined that they would give their lives over to You. And Lord, this morning as we leave this place, I pray that we will never forget men like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Men who purposed in their heart, men who were determined that they would honor You regardless of the cost. I'm so thankful, Lord, that when they were thrown into the fiery furnace, not a hair of their head was singed. And when the king looked in, they saw, Lord, You. And Lord, I'm so thankful that You protected them. Lord, may we surrender our lives completely to Your will. And we will give You the honor and praise in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. God bless you.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Reverend Darrell Smith, pastor of Great Lakes Baptist Church in Clarkston, Michigan. For a cassette tape containing yesterday's and today's messages by Reverend Smith, send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.